occupying your public airwaves. This is the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, all-around swell fellow and occupier right here on the Mike Malloy Show, in for Mike, who is in D.C., for the next few days. If you are anywhere near Washington, D.C., please pack a duffel and head on out to Occupy Washington, D.C. You can get information at OccupyWashingtonDC.org or October2011.org. That's where Mike will be emceeing the kickoff of those demonstrations tomorrow. Stop by, say hello. Tell him Brad said hello. And he, again, will be joining us, I think, at the top of tomorrow night's show to give us an update on how the kickoff went. So you'll want to do that. You'll also want to give us a call if you are one of the many occupiers now around the country in this growing movement. 877-520-1150. Is our phone number. The lines are filling up, so we'd love to hear from the occupiers themselves. Of course, we'd love to hear from other folks with other thoughts, other ideas, folks who have questions about the occupation. But folks who are occupying go straight to the top of the list. And by the way, we have the first Rasmussen, the first poll. This one comes from Rasmussen, a rather right-wing outlet. But they find that... Well, let's see. The occupiers, excuse me, the occupiers are more popular than Congress. This is Occupy. They were asking, I think, about Occupy Wall Street. They're more popular than Congress and more popular than the Tea Party movement. Now, remember when the Tea Party movement, for just a few minutes there in the early days, in the very early minutes, and I'm not talking about the real Tea Party movement, the Ron Paul Tea Party movement that started around 2007, was critical of Bush. I'm talking about what has become the sore loser party, that was really just a Republican scheme to try to gin up phony anger against Democrats. But remember in the very early days of that movement, the nascent second of it, when they were furious at all these bonuses that AIG was giving out. Remember, we had given all that money to the banks. And yet they were giving away all of these bonuses. They were furious about it. They were furious about what Wall Street was doing. That's how it started out for about 5 minutes. And then it was taken over, completely co-opted by the Republican Party, by the Koch brothers and their Americans for Prosperity, by Karl Rove's Freedom Watch. But for those people in the early days who were really angry about what the banks were doing, what the corporations were doing, how the taxpayer had gotten these guys off the hook, and yet they turned around and gave the middle finger to the country, took their money and ran. Those people, those Tea Partiers who really cared about the corporatocracy that was screwing over the working class man, you Tea Partiers, you ought to be occupying Wall Street. You ought to be working with the Occupy movements around the country. Because those folks are fighting for what you believed in before you were conned, before you were lied to by these cretins and liars like the Koch brothers and Karl Rove and all of those people who played you, who made you think that the Tea Party was about standing up for the working class man. No. Who's standing up for the rich guys like the Koch brothers and Karl Rove. That's what it was always about. You, the working class stiff, you can go straight to hell. And if you have any question about that... Go read what they think about you people over at my report at Mother Jones. Folks who heard, I think it was back in July when I was sitting in again for Mike Malloy. At the time, I couldn't tell you what it was. But I had talked about a very exclusive story that I was working on, a several-part series, and I had said that the part two of this story I had completely lost after I finished my first draft, and I couldn't tell you what it was. Now you know what it was. It was the story, the two-part story that I released at Mother Jones, the secret Coke tapes. Charles and David Coke talking about the mother of all wars that they considered 2012 to be. Alluding to Saddam Hussein, comparing him, it seems to me, comparing him to Barack Obama. We heard Charles Koch listing off the names of those millionaires and billionaires who had given more than $1 million over the past year to the Koch Foundation's political arms, their many political front groups. He was listing off the names, even though they had gone to this great effort to keep the entire thing secret, to play pink noise out into the mountains, static noise, to keep anybody from being able to listen in. Well, I guess they didn't work hard enough, because you can now listen in. All of those tapes are at bradblog.com. I released the two-part series at Mother Jones just after Labor Day. Part two had to do with some guy named Chris Christie. Remember him? Chris Christie, governor of New Jersey, who was not running for president. He had snuck out to New Jersey, and it was that part two of that story that I just finished the first draft of that I lost, that I was whining about on the air. I had to start it over from scratch. It was Chris Christie, that story. He had flown out to give the keynote address for the Koch brothers. Didn't tell anybody in New Jersey that he was leaving. His constituents didn't know. His voters didn't know. The media didn't know. Nobody knew until 2 months later when I broke the story at Mother Jones that Chris Christie had flown across the country to meet with the Koch brothers to give their stem winder of a keynote speech to them. We also learned in those tapes that Charles Koch called Chris Christie my kind of guy, and revealed that they had met several months earlier for two hours in private in his office, Charles Koch's office in New York City. I'm sorry, David Koch's office in New York City for 2 hours. Did you get to meet with Chris Christie for 2 hours? No, because you don't have billions of dollars. Speaking of which, for all the bitching and moaning the Koch brothers have done about the how terrible this, what a war they need to take on this terrible dictator, Barack Obama. They made $18 billion over the last 3 years, $18 billion in personal wealth, Charles and David Koch, the oil conglomerate titans who inherited their oil business from their daddy. They made $18 billion over the last 3 years while they fired thousands of you people. Thousands of you people in the Tea Party movement, they told you to go to hell while they made $18 billion. That's what their personal wealth increased to. Charles and David Koch are tied for fourth place in Forbes' list of 400 wealthiest Americans. And yet, they're complaining. Seems like they ought to be sending a thank you card to Barack Obama instead of amassing millions to take him down with dark money. That's their plan. And they funded, they created the Tea Party movement. They created the global warming denial movement to protect their own oil and chemical business. They are lying to you. They are using millions and millions and perhaps billions of dollars to do it. They're calling you patriots, you Tea Party folks. You are the patriots, they say. But they're lying. They think you are a chump. You are the patsies doing their very dirty work for them. If you have any questions about that, just look at Forbes. Look at $18 billion they made. They increased wealth under Barack Obama while you can go straight to hell. Oh, and by the way, Chris Christie's secret trip out to Coke to give to Val, Colorado, to give the speech for the Kochs. The Republican Party of New Jersey, according to Bloomberg, and we've got it today at bradblog.com, paid $63,000 to fly Chris Christie out to New Jersey and back for the day. He didn't even stay overnight. $63,000. So when the Republican Party asks you for your next donation, $20, $30, $50, $100, remember, they shipped Chris Christie out for a few hours to speak with billionaires in secret, in private. We're willing to spend $63,000 of your money to do it. Or maybe it was the Koch brothers' money. What did they get in return? We don't know. Anyway, your occupation calls coming up right after this. Tons of folks on the line, but you can still get in. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy.
Would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold?
This is a public service announcement with guitar.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad. Yeah, I should have left that play. Well, we'll do that tomorrow. I forgot about it. Yes, you do have the right not to be killed. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. 877-520-1150. The lines are lit up with occupiers. It is time to occupy now your public airwaves. Let me get to Philip occupying San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. Oh, Philip.
Brad, how are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you? Are you occupying San Francisco?
Yes, San Francisco. Occupy San Francisco. It's been great 2 weeks here, and we spawned a group over in Berkeley, one in Oakland that started yesterday, and another one in San Jose starts on Friday.
How many?
So it's a growing infectious operation here.
Your best guess, how many folks are at the Occupy San Francisco right now?
Oh, probably at 250.
And
occupying, and we had a march today in solidarity with the Wall Street, Occupy Wall Street.
Right.
Our march was about 500 people, and we are occupying the portico front door of the Federal Reserve Bank of San Francisco.
And is that the Federal Reserve Bank in San Francisco? Do people know where that is? I'm not from San Francisco, so will they know where that is?
It's at the foot of Market Street. Uh-huh. It's the foot of Market Street, 101 Market Street, right at, throw a rock and hit the ferry building.
Gotcha.
So we're right there. It's very prominent. Very prominent location.
Yeah. And how can people help you guys? What do you guys need out there in San Francisco?
We need people. We need people because there's a tremendous amount of work to do. This is an organization that's built, it's an organic group that's been here 2 weeks, and we need, just bodies, people to just do support the media outreach, the education, we need greeters, we need people out, just come down. 101 Market Street, the Federal Reserve Bank.
Very
and,
good.
We have now ringed the building. We have ringed the building with an encampment.
Police and you guys getting along all right?
Oh, the police have been absolutely delightful, absolutely delightful. Today we had a march which we went up Market Street. We had basically a police escort, is what I would call it. As we went down, we went through City Hall, ringed around City Hall, and then we came down, California Street back towards the Federal Reserve Bank, down that hill, they invited our group, it was March, it was about 1,500, invited us to step into the street. We stepped into the street and we took the street all the way down California Street. We congregated in front of the original Bank of America headquarters building there for a while and greeted them. And they were just wonderful. Police have been so supportive, stopped the traffic for us. I mean, it was a very smooth operation today.
Delighted to hear it, Philip. Thank you for your call and for your occupation, sir. Stay in touch. We're going to be doing this third hour every night this week. So thank you, brothers.
We have General Assembly 6 o'clock every night, and we have another rally 12 o'clock this Saturday, 101 Market Street. Thank you, Brad.
You bet. And folks listening on Green 960, turn out and go support the occupiers. Join, in fact, the occupation. Let me see if I can get in. Do I have time for another one? Yeah, I can. Let's try this. Madeline from Fort Wayne, Indiana. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Madeline.
Yes, good evening, Brad, and thank you for taking my call. I called primarily to applaud you, commend the young people who are occupying Wall Street, primarily because I participated in ERA marches and marches against apartheid. We had as our mantra the Isley Brothers Fight the Power song. The major thing that I can do now is to send socks to those who are in New York on Wall Street. So I am going to do that along with some of the other things that they have requested. And thank you for all that you are doing.
Thank you for all that you are doing. Are they uprising yet in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Madeline?
Oh, they're kind of slow here.
Well, they'll get the picture soon enough. Thanks for all that you're doing, Madeline. Really appreciate that vote of confidence and support and helping out the folks down there at the Occupy Movement in Wall Street. Yes, send them socks. It's getting cold out here. Thanks for the call, Madeline. You bet. 877-520-1150. We are occupying your public airwaves right here on the Mike Malloy Show. Give us a call. Much more ahead.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be.
Supporting the working class heroes in this nation, you are listening to The Uprising on The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike Malloy, talking to the occupiers and those with thoughts on the occupations rising now around the country. You want democracy? You want the spirit of the real Tea Party? This is it. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Bill in Cleveland. Welcome to The Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hey, Brad, how are you? This is Bill Wright's man in Cleveland, Ohio, home of the stolen election of 2004.
Uh-oh, Bill of Rights, man. Yeah, in 2004. You guys are, got to applaud, by the way, the folks in Ohio. You guys are amazing. I know that Governor Kasich and the Republicans tried to put in new voter suppression, of course, new voter suppression laws trying to limit early voting registration, and more than 300,000 voters in Ohio stood up, signed a signature to get that voter suppression bill off the books and onto the ballot where the people will vote on it instead of being suppressed by it next year. So, Ohio, you guys rock. Anyway, Bill, what's on your mind?
We were out there, the Bill of Rights man and the Brick TV crew were out there gathering signatures to suppress or to get on the ballot the House Bill 194, which would have severely limited the ability for people to vote early and register to vote. And we were successful in getting over 300,000. We still have people out on the streets this week because we don't know if the current Republican guy is going to, certify all the signatures we did gather. But
Secretary of State out there, John Husted, who actually was, I want to give him props too, Republican Secretary of State of Ohio, but said, no way to that photo ID restriction that the Republicans were trying to do. He bucked his own party and said, no, no, I'm not here to keep people from voting, at least with the photo ID law. So we'll see how the other thing goes. But I think you guys may have saved the 2012 election in Ohio, not for Democrats, not for Republicans, but for Americans. Anyway, listen, I got a bunch of folks online here, a bunch of occupiers. So, Bill, you say okay, Occupy Cleveland.
Another thing, Brad, don't forget, everybody go to OccupyCleveland.com. We start tomorrow at 12 noon, and we will be continuing our occupation of downtown Cleveland at the Free Stamp across from federal building. Everybody knows in Cleveland where the Free Stamp is. Be there, 12 o'clock, aloha, OccupyCleveland.com.
OccupyCleveland.com, noon tomorrow at the Free Stamp building?
The Free Stamp across from the federal building.
There you go.
Which is only a block and a half away from the Federal Reserve building.
Gotcha. All right,
gotcha.
Bill.
Thanks, Brad. Love you.
Thank you. Love you back. Let me go to, Karen in, Karen in Oxnard. There's an Occupy Oxnard, Karen?
Yes, I am Karen. I'm from Oxnard, and we do have an event going on. It's coming next week on the 15th, but I want to say to everybody that I'm very much in awe of people in big cities who are doing things. They've got big things planned, but I want people to know that in small cities, you can do the same thing. You need to have your presence known, whether you live in a big city or a small city like I do.
Yeah, Oxnard, pretty small city outside of Los Angeles. So is there any place people can get more information on the Occupy Oxnard movement, Karen?
Well, you just go to www.occupytogether.com. org, and you will find information about all occupations happening throughout the country. And as I look at it now, there are over 450 taking place.
Rock and roll. Thanks, Karen. Really appreciate you checking in, and stay in touch. We're going to be doing this every night for the next couple of nights, and I want to hear from the occupiers. Thanks, Karen, for fighting for your rights and for mine. Let me go to Ken, who has a different point of view, it looks like, on all of this. Hey, Ken, from Elkhart, Indiana. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Brad? I just want to say that those people down on Wall Street,
yeah,
they're bums, man. You know what? And I'll tell you what. The Tea Party never believed the same thing these people do.
Really? What makes them bums down there at the Occupy Wall Street?
Well, how long have they been down there?
About 3 weeks.
Yeah, they ain't working, are they?
No, you may have heard there's a problem, an unemployment problem in this country because the corporations decided that it was better to lay off people and maximize their profits and screw the working man. We've got a problem with unemployment.
So it's all the corporations' fault, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? That's a fallacy.
Whose fault is it, Ken?
Well, let me tell you, the government makes the rules, and the Democrats have been making the rules here for quite a while, and they got things so messed up that this economy is never going to recover until we get Obama out of the White House.
Okay, well, you can do that, Ken, but let me ask you, when Wall Street crashed because they were playing games with your mortgages and everything else during the Bush administration, that was the Democrats' fault. Is that what you're saying?
Well, let me tell you, back in 1999, the New York Times did an article about Fannie Mae and subprime loans that wasn't allowed to come in and signed into law.
Right.
They predicted that this would happen back in 1999.
Yeah, they did.
Over Bush administration, he tried to reform Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but they wouldn't do it.
I see.
The Democrats wouldn't do it.
I see.
And
so the subprime mortgage, when all of the banks decided, and it wasn't just Fannie and Freddie, but when all of them decided that we would start making money by bundling these subprime mortgages and actually selling them off as commodities, at like a casino, even though they became worthless after a while, that was still Fannie and Freddie's fault and the Democrats,
Brad,
right?
Brad, that was legal, Brad. The government makes the rules.
That was legal,
rules,
yes.
Brad.
Oh, okay.
The government makes the rules. It was legal to sell.
Did I say it was illegal? What I said was that's what caused the market to crash. Because the banks can. Spent millions and billions to lobby both Republicans and Democrats to remove the regulations, to remove the rules, so that they could gamble with your mortgages and your houses and your livelihoods, and you're cool with that, right? Because it was legal, Ken.
Bill Clinton allowed for derivatives.
Right.
Mortgage-backed securities.
Right.
He is the one that signed that into law.
Right. And your point is?
The point is that it was part of this push from Democrats to put people into houses who couldn't afford them and should have never had the loans anyway.
Okay, wrong, Ken, and I'm going to let you go after this because you're wrong. First, Phil Grant. Okay, I'll tell you why I think you're wrong. Phil Graham's bill, doing away with these regulations, the things that Clinton signed that he never should have signed.
Well, he signed it, and it passed the Senate by 80%. 80
right.
senators voted for
right.
it.
Right.
Democrats and Republicans. Who,
exactly. And that is exactly the point that the occupiers on Wall Street have been trying to make.
Well,
do you got it, Ken?
The wrong people. They should be down in front of the White House and down in front of the Congress occupying those people because they're the ones who make the rules.
You're right, pal, and that's exactly where they're going to be tomorrow, and I hope you will join them at OccupyWashingtonDC.org because they are fighting for your rights and they are fighting against Republicans and against Democrats and against anybody else who doesn't give a damn about the working class in this country, Ken. So I hope you'll head out and join them.
They can vote these socialists out of office and these communists.
I know. Tell me about it. I agree. They should, because when George W. Bush decided to socialize the banks and bail those guys out, I agree the socialist George Bush should have been voted the hell out of office. I'm glad you agree. Thanks for your call, Ken. Good to hear from you, my friend.
Bye.
All right. Let me go to a quick break here. You're listening to Brad on the Mike Malloy Show. We can get in a few more calls from you occupiers, 877-520-1150. Tony, why you got your head in your hands? It's late at night to cause trouble, isn't it? Never too late. 877-520-1150, Brad in for Mike. Tonight to engineer Tony Sorrentino here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150. Thank you, Tony. You rock as ever. My thanks, of course, to producer Desi Doyen, as usual, producer, call screener, chat room hostess and everything else. Also to For Earth in the chat room, in the bradblog.com chat room. Also to Jeannie Dean in the bradblog.com chat room. And my thanks to my guest tonight, Jesse LaGreca of Occupy Wall Street, Roger Johnston of Argonne National Labs, and some guy named Mike Malloy, who called in here early, and he'll call again tomorrow from the OccupyWashingtonDC.org demonstrations, where he will be for the next two nights while I am here in his chair. Time for a few more calls from you occupiers at 877-520-1150 all week long. Third hour of the show, I'm going to be leaving it open to the occupiers to occupy your public airwaves. Joy in Santa Cruz, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Joy.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, dear.
Okay, San Lorenzo Park, October 6, 2011, 10 o'clock a.m. is when we are doing Occupy Santa Cruz.
Occupy Santa Cruz, October, say it again?
October 6th.
That's tomorrow.
Yes.
Tomorrow, okay, October 6th, Thursday at 10 a.m. All right.
San Lorenzo Park.
San Lorenzo Park?
San Lorenzo.
Oh, Lorenzo.
With a Z as in
zoo. Lorenzo Park. All right, you going to be there?
Yes, sir.
Are you going to be sticking around? Is it a one-day thing? Are you guys going to be there for a long haul? Any idea yet?
I don't know. I just discovered this myself tonight. So, I'm going to go and see what they're going to say.
All right.
But
yes,
I want one thing to be read before I get off the phone.
Okay.
As one people united, we acknowledge the reality that the future of the human race requires the cooperation of its members, that our system must protect our rights, and upon corruption of that system, it is up to the individuals to protect their own rights and those of their neighbors.
Joy, I was waiting a long. She was waiting a long time, and I did that, didn't I? I'm sorry, Joy. I think she can tell us in the chat room. I think that was the a statement that was put together by the Occupy Wall Street people. And I'm sorry, Joy. I did not mean to do that. Let me get to. I know, but I've only got a few minutes left. Steve in Burbank, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Don't look at me like that, Tony. It was not on purpose. Steve.
Hello, Brad.
Hey, Steve, what's on your mind, brother? I only got a few more minutes, and I'll try to get back Joy if she calls in.
Well,
yes.
What's cool about this is we see the old codgers, such as myself, in dialogue with the young whippersnappers. And what it has to be is refined dialogue. We cannot go too deep into advanced political theory, but what we can say is things like vacant housing, homeless children, morality. Please explain. You know, families, you know, homeless families, we can say the home is the primary foundation of a strong family. And you know, and that wild-eyed Jesse LaGreca, you know, that hippie, you know, that malcontent hysterical, you know, if he could talk to the media like, oh, wait a sec, I'm sorry, he already does that.
He already does. All right, Steve,
okay.
Listen, I got a lot of other callers. Are you going to the Occupy LA?
I've been there twice. I'm going again. I'm there every chance I get.
Rock and roll, brothers. Thanks, Steve. I want to get to as many calls as I can here. Let me go to Mark in San Francisco. I still feel bad that I didn't mean to dump Joy. Mark in San Francisco, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
How you doing, Brad?
I'm okay. Are you occupying San Francisco?
You better believe it. Every chance I get.
How's it going out there?
Well, I'm not out there right now. I was there today at 101 Market Street.
Yep.
And it's going good. They're camping out there, and we're in for the long haul here in San Francisco. We're going to do our part. You better believe that.
All right. The rain didn't bother you guys too much today?
No, it's not going to bother us.
All right.
You know, the policemen were great. We got a good police department here in San Francisco.
That's what I hear. I'm delighted to hear it. Hey, thanks, Mark. I appreciate the call. Let me see
keep
if I can...
Keep up the good work, Brad. You're a good patriot.
Back at you, my friend. Let me get to Jacob in Eureka, California. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Yeah, I just want to make a point. I see the protesters in New York, Wall Street. I see Mike sympathizing with them, agreeing with them, but they need to realize that guy, Michael Moore, the film director, is also very rich.
Yeah, and what's the problem with that?
He's a hypocrite.
Why is he a hypocrite?
He's a rich nut, that's all.
What's the problem with being rich?
You got the Democrats are complaining about CEOs. That's also a rich Hollywood star.
No. Jacob, maybe you misunderstood. They don't have a problem with Michael Moore being rich or anybody else being rich. They just think that millionaires like Michael Moore ought to pay a fair share so that, you know, their secretaries don't pay more than them.
I'd just like to point out, I have friends who work their butts off in a restaurant. They make $2.50.
Right.
They really work their butts off. And Democrats want to tax them.
Wait. They work where?
$20 or higher.
They make $250,000 a year in a restaurant?
Yeah, they run it themselves.
They own the restaurant.
What?
They own the restaurant. Okay. And so you don't think that they should pay 3% more. You think that the busboys and the waiters should pay a higher rate on their taxes than the owners of the restaurant, correct?
The CEOs and the stupid celebrities should pay more. That's why I think.
That's exactly what the people are calling for, Jacob. Pay attention. Man, how stupid. You know, it's not that they're stupid. It's that Fox News is lying to them. Nobody has a problem with the fact that Michael Moore is a millionaire. They have a problem with the fact that his tax rate, his effective tax rate, ends up being lower than his secretary. Don't you guys get it? They're fighting for all of us. God, you know, and I had some clips. I'll play them tomorrow night. The way Fox News is lying to you, the way this, God, this jackass Herman Cain, man, is he stupid. Man, is he stupid. Does he not get it? As you'll find out tomorrow, no, he don't. Joy, I'm sorry. I'm out of time, but I got you back. What was the declaration you were reading? Where can folks find it?
Okay, it's a declaration of the occupation of New York City.
And where can, and that, they can get that at OccupyWallStreet.org?
Yes, they can. I think I can say this within the time period we've got.
No, you can't, because I got somebody else I have to get to, Joy. I want to point them to it. OccupyWallStreet.org. And I'm sorry I hung up on you. I really didn't mean to.
Oh, I know you didn't. I love you, honey.
Love you back. Thanks, Joy. Let me get to Joe very quickly in Indiana, because that last guy from Indiana gave the whole state a bad name. Hey, Joy. Joe, welcome to the Molloy Show. You got about 15 seconds, brother.
Okay, bottom line, the more government that gets into the free market, the more it screws it up. So the fact that the government guarantees Fannie and Freddie loans,
yeah,
and then forced banks to underwrite mortgages.
No, they didn't, Joe. They didn't force anybody. No bank ever, ever had to give a loan to anybody who couldn't afford it. Unfortunately, Joe, you didn't improve Indiana's name. Maybe tomorrow we will. Brad, in from Mike. We'll see you at bradblog.com.